Well, friends, I invite you to turn in your Bibles as we begin this sermon series called Hidden Christmas to the book of Isaiah, looking at chapter 8, a few verses there, and also chapter 9, a few verses there. Chapter 8 of the book of Isaiah, found on page 984, chapter 8, and we're looking at verses 19 through 22, and then we'll move to chapter 9. We read these words, verse 19, "When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness." Then verse 2. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Verse 5. "Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm wondering if a third or fourth grade girl can help me out here. If you could come up here. Third or fourth grade girl, just come on up. Are there any third or fourth grade girls who are brave to come up? Or boys? Third or fourth grade boys. Come on. Anyone? We don't have any third or fourth grade boys at all. Yes! Shay. Oh. Oh. It's a contest. It's a contest. All right, come on. Come over here. Here, I get to sit, you get to stand. Okay, you know, I want to show you something here. All right, I got a box, all right, a box, and don't look at that. All right, it's got a bag in it, okay, and here, I want to show you what's in it. Look at, I'm going to take that. What do you think that is?
Something like a light bulb?
A light bulb, exactly right. It is a light bulb. Where do you think it goes? Yeah. Yeah, like look at this. There's more of it, right? There's the green thing.
Yeah.
And then the green thing, right, goes into the string, right? And you see these little, well, I'm going to show you on this one. Look at, see these little wires?
Yeah.
Tiny little wires. You see them better than I do, I'm sure. Okay. But yeah, two little things. And those wires go, can you see kind of they connect up there? Right? And of course, what happens when electricity goes into it?
It lights up.
Yeah, it lights up. Like over there. Look at the Christmas trees. Yeah, just like that. You know why I have these? I bought these. We bought a Christmas tree a while back. We didn't cut it down. We buy an artificial one. And I said, I'm sick and tired of always having to buy artificial trees. So I am going to be vigilant. You know what vigilant means? Good.
No.
Okay. It exactly that, right. So I'm going to be so sure I'm going to do this. I do not want to have to buy another tree. So you know what I did? I went on Amazon.com, and I found 100 clear pinched base mini replacement bulbs from the Vermont company. They sell these. And so, you know what I did last year after we had our tree for a year? I went around at the end of Christmas. Everything was off of it except the lights because the lights stay on. And I found a bunch of burned out bulbs, like 16 of them. So I replaced them. And they went on just like that. Amazing, wasn't it? They just shone with light. I was so excited. So now every year I'm going to do that. And we're going to keep this tree till the end of time, okay? And I think it's so awesome that these little bulbs just like that end up like that tree over there. Don't you think that's awesome? Sure. Yeah. Would you like a bulb?
Sure.
Show your friends. Amaze them, okay? There you go. Wait, is that one all right? Yeah, there it is. Don't hurt yourself with it, okay? Thanks for coming up, Shay. Appreciate that. Thanks so much. Of course, the point being, one of the first sure signs that the celebration of Christmas, whether it's a merely secular celebration that includes family gatherings, gift giving, and even generously giving to others in their time of need, or whether it's a purely Christmas celebration, a Christian, I should say, celebration, which likely includes the already mentioned things, as well as a focus on the real reason for the season, the birth of Jesus Christ. One of the first sure signs we see that Christmas is on the way is the twinkling on of more and more lights. Lights along rooftops, in windows, on trees, throughout stores. Radiance is Christmas's order of the day, isn't it? And not just for decorative reasons either. No, the lights, no matter who puts them up, the lights and the light they give off is symbolic, isn't it? It's a reminder that the world is a dark place, and it needs brightening up, just like when you're in a dark room, you can't do much until you first turn on a light. One of the vivid memories I have of my dad is when he reached a certain age, and he had that over 40 disease where you start to need a lot more light to see and read things. And we were in the basement working together, and he needed to know a serial number on the furnace. And obviously, it was in a hard-to-reach and quite dark place. Where else would the manufacturer put it? My dad asked me, his teenage son at the time, to find out that serial number. So I crawled behind the furnace amongst a plethora of spider webs and found it easily. And he asked me if I now needed to get me a flashlight, and I shouted out N467WP38Q. All right, smarty pants, thank you. Now I do this sort of thing with my grandkids. Oof. Wow. A room is dark and needs light. The world is dark and needs light. You need light to make your way in this world, to understand this world, figure out this world, and that has not changed for millennia. What did Isaiah the prophet tell us some 700 years before Christ? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Isaiah wrote about it, and then the apostle Matthew, one of the 12 disciples, picked up this theme and applied it to none other than Jesus. And another apostle, John, reflected the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. But you see, it's understood. The world is in darkness, the darkness of sin and evil, isn't it? You can't give any sort of accurate history of this world without mentioning the reality that this world is darkened with sin and evil. Sin entered the world way back in the Garden of Eden, and there was evil gaining a major foothold in this world, and we still see it today. Watch the news. Wars, rumors of war, violence, injustice, abuse of power, human trafficking, homelessness, refugees fleeing persecution, brokenness in families, untold grief. There is evil in this world caused by sin. There's also ignorance. The world did not recognize the true light, Jesus. That's another kind of darkness. People blinding themselves to the truth. People ignorant of the cure for sin and evil and all the suffering that goes with it. Jesus is the cure. But people deceive themselves into ignorance and into thinking that somehow we are the cure. People, humanity, we can fix this, the sin and evil. It's ignorance with a dash or two of arrogance shaken onto it. Back in Isaiah's day, what did this look like? You want to fix the world's problem? Consult your local medium or spiritist, the text said, who whisper and mutter. What was that you were saying? They whisper and mutter because they have no solution whatsoever. They're ignorant themselves. Consult the dead, they did that too. And Isaiah says they have no light of dawn. They need the light for the fix, and they don't know it, and they don't care because they think they're the fix. Distressed and hungry, they will roam the land. But listen, they'll look to heaven, curse God for their misery, and then immediately look back down toward the earth and see only distress, darkness, and fearful gloom. Like all of us, even today, those mediums saw the darkness, saw the evil, but ignorantly looked away from the cure down to the earth, looking for the solution down here. Ignorance splashed with arrogance. We can fix this ourselves. We can overcome it. That's what they said. But don't we as well? 2,700 years is a lot closer than it first appears. We can fix it. A rocketing stock market can fix this. A better education can fix this. A technological breakthrough can fix this. A better group of politicians can fix this. If we get all those things to align just so, I think we can end the darkness, rid the world of it. It's the voice of, if you know this TV show, movie, Star Trek. It's the voice of Star Trek down through the decades. They are centuries ahead of us, boomers, busters, Gen Xers and Yers, millennials and Gen A, B, C, D, X, G. It's obvious they're fixing everything. Oh, we got rid of currency in the 22nd century. We eliminated the class system in 2350. We stopped pollution completely in 2104. But still, they're dealing with sin and evil every new episode, every new movie, every new animated series. They haven't fixed it, even though they snootily claim they can and will one day. The reality they are ignorant of and arrogant about is that they can't. We can't fix it. We can't cure it. We can't eliminate it. Sin and evil, we are powerless to do so. We think we have the light within us, and we can dispel the darkness. We can overcome poverty and injustice and violence and evil. We can do anything if we do it together and set our minds to it. That was in the Thanksgiving proclamation. We can create the world of peace and unity we also desire. Nope. We can't. That's looking in the wrong direction. That's looking for the cure toward the earth, toward us. And that ignorance and arrogance, as Isaiah writes, thrusts us into utter darkness. Further and further we go. What did we say? Stock market, education, technological advance, politics. Many, many people, 77 million plus people, are happy their candidate won the election. Many, many other people, 74 plus million, said are sad theirs didn't. Well, everyone, every one of them needs to realize that no matter who won, the one you like, the one you don't, That person, no matter how many promises he or she made, that person, no matter how many changes they promise and will implement, no matter how great again a country may get, according to some or not get according to others, that person can never save us, can never save humanity from sin and evil. Our tendency, the tendency of every human being, every single one, is to forget that truth, to be ignorant of it, arrogant about it. The only thing that saves us is a turning not down to the earth and the rich supply of answers that the earth puts forward, not turning down to earth for the solution, but looking up to heaven, turning to and seeking God for the fix, for the solution, for the cure. The light associated with Christmas, no matter how well-intended by Christians and by secular folks as well, I want to help the needy this Christmas. It's the right thing to do. I want to get together with family and reconcile. It's the right thing to do. I want to be generous with what I have been given or what I make because it's the right thing to do. And it's going to make the world a better place, a lighter place. In fact, if every day were Christmas, we might even be able to put together a world of unity and peace. That's the beauty of the light of Christmas. And the reality is the exact opposite of that. Humanity cannot save itself. And if you think it can, that only leads to more darkness and misery. Listen to Tim Keller's words here. In reality, listen, Christmas is the most unsentimental, realistic way of looking at life. It does not say, cheer up. If we all pull together, we can make the world a better place. The Bible never counsels indifference to the forces of darkness, only resistance, but it supports no illusions that we can defeat them ourselves. Christianity does not agree with the optimistic thinkers who say we can fix things if we try hard enough, nor does it agree with the pessimists who see only a dystopian future. The message of Christianity is, instead, things really are this bad, and we can't heal or save ourselves. Things really are this dark. Nevertheless, there is hope. The Christmas message is that on those living in darkness, a light has dawned. It doesn't say from the world a light has sprung, but upon the world a light has dawned. It has come from outside. There is light outside of this world, and Jesus has brought that light to save us. Indeed, he is the light. Now, how is Jesus the light? Isaiah uses the sun in the sky as his teaching tool, right? A great light, a light has dawned. That's sun language. And what does sunlight do for us? It gives life, right? If the sun were to go dark, our planet would quickly die and everything on it and in it. Life as we know it would disappear. God is like the sun in that way. Only in God do we live and do we exist. God created us and keeps us alive. We live and move and have our being in God because of God. Body and soul, we stay alive because of God. Now, because of sin and the death it led to, you will surely die. We will all know physical death one day, should the Lord delay his return. But we also know spiritual death. We have no meaning, no hope. We are filled with discontent. We are miserable without God because God gives life and only God can give life to its fullest. But sin messed that all up. What else does the sunlight do for us? It shows us the truth. It reveals the reality of the world around us. It doesn't only give light, it gives truth. That's why we put headlights on cars, so that the road is lit up so we can see what's there. I just read about the northernmost city in Alaska. Two names, depending how old you are. It's Barrow, Alaska, or Utqiagvik, Alaska. Two names. They are entering the season for about 2 months when they will not enjoy a sunrise. It's called polar night, as most of you know. These 5,000 people will not see the sun unless they fly to Florida. 2 months. They'll rely on artificial light. They have to have it to see the reality around them. They need that truth that light brings to them to function literally. God, in a similar way, gives us truth. We can decipher the world around us because God gave us intellect and a brain and the ability to reason things out and ultimately to understand by His Word who He is and who we are and what the creation is and what the relation is between us and God Himself. The light brings truth. And also, light brings joy. Life, truth, and joy. It truly does. Anytime you see a sunrise or sunset and experience the beauty of it, you are experiencing joy. I experienced it last night. Beautiful pink-orange sky. Did anybody see it? Oh, gorgeous. After the sun went down. Anytime you are enjoying something, no matter what it is, God is the source of that joy, whether you know it or not. Augustine said that lovely things, beautiful things, bear God's signature. The joy of what we experience is derived from God Himself because that's where the true joy is found. Every joy we have is a derivative from God's beauty. It comes from Him. Life, truth, joy, all from God. Isaiah had it right. A light has dawned, has flashed, is the literal meaning. Flashed upon us. And here it is. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This is how God brings light back to this earth through His Son, who is human just like us except for sin. And also, He is God. He is wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's no doubt about it. This light that dawns, that flashes upon us, Jesus, He is God and He is born. He is God, and He is a human being. This is amazing. And not in the trite, overused way our society uses amazing. This is truly amazing. We are lost in wonder, love, and praise as we stare dumbstruck at what God has done to bring light into our dark world, dark with sin. What are the ramifications of this for you and for me? That this light has dawned on you? Just two for today. If He truly is mighty God, everlasting Father, then you must serve Him completely. He is God over you. He's not just some quaint little baby in the manger. He claims to be God Himself, and you must either serve Him completely or be furious with Him for making a claim like that or be scared of Him, but I hope you kneel before Him to serve Him fully. Worship Him completely as being who He says He is. And if He's truly wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace, what good news is that for you? Your Counselor. That means He's walked the same path as you. He can counsel you. He knows what it is like to experience everything a human being experiences. He truly understands you. From the inside out, He was abandoned. He was crushed at the cross. He was tortured. He endured injustice. He was oppressed. He even died, and so much more. Anything you're going through, He has experienced. He understands. You know, I think of what the Kuipers endured this last week and a half as they watched their beloved husband and father sink from the picture of health and strength to unconsciousness and having his breathing and kidney function done for him and then coming back again. Jesus endured the equivalent of that and so much more. He walked our path in this dark world. Listen to Dorothy Sayers on this, the incarnation. The Word becoming flesh, Jesus, means that for whatever reason, God chose to let us fall, to suffer, to be subject to sorrow and death, he has nonetheless had the courage to take his own medicine. He can exact nothing from man that he has not exacted from himself. He himself has gone through the whole of human experience, from the trivial irritations of family life and the cramping restrictions of hard work and lack of money, to the worst horrors of pain and humiliation, defeat, despair, and death. He was born in poverty and suffered infinite pain, all for us, and he thought it well worth his while. Friends, this is our beautiful and wonderful counselor. He did that his whole life through, and especially on the cross, as he brought his light head on to crush the darkness of our sin and evil in this world. The light of the world, Jesus, crushes the darkness. Listen, he brings new life to replace our spiritual deadness. He heals our spiritual blindness. He beautifully breaks our addictions to money, to sex, to power. He even walks with us into and through the shadow of death. He goes where no other companion can go. So my question to you is he your light? Is he the light of your world? How, you ask? For to us a child is born, listen, to us a son is given. He's a gift. The light of the world is a gift. What do you think about that? You receive him. You receive him, his light, as a gift of grace. Not easy, because remember, that ignorance of the reality of evil and sin in this world that we talked about, we said it was ignorance salted with arrogance. To receive this light that wants to dawn in your life, wants to flash in your life, you must put away all your pride. All the pride in your life that says, I'm not such a bad person. Or, I can take care of myself. Or, I don't really sin all that much. Or, I can stay in control in my life. Or even, by sheer force of will, if I need to, I can pull myself together and live a good and moral life, and that will ensure a successful ending to it. Arrogance. Pride. To accept this gift, you humbly say, I'm a sinner. I do not measure up to God's standard. I need Jesus to save me, to cover my sin with his blood. And I want to live for him. And you know what? That's the only way to approach this God humbly like that. The only way to receive this gift. You recognize that nothing less than the death of the Son of God himself could save you. It's the only way. And that's how to start off this Christmas Advent season. Enjoying the lights, enjoying the light in a whole new way. The light of the world is calling you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. A light has dawned for you. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that you sent Jesus, that our salvation is from outside, though we try so often to look to ourselves, to what we can do for our salvation. No, it's completely from outside. You sent this incredible gift to us, Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. Remind us of that today. Remind us of that this entire season long as we see every light. In our effort to lighten up the world, remind us that you did it. You gave us Jesus the light of the world. Help us to serve him completely. And thank you that the light of the world walks with us every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.